This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Here's the pitch. Trickled back to the mound. Urseg fields first base side. Runs to first, underhand toss. Gurriel's there in time, and the ball game's over. The Royals shut out the Nationals for the second straight night and win a second straight game. Royals 3, Nationals nothing. And the Royals are that much closer to securing a postseason berth for the first time since 2015. Now 84-74, and a much needed win down the stretch. Only four games to go, and the Royals can just about taste it.
Staying alive, staying very much alive, are the Kansas City Royals in this playoff hunt. They are two games ahead of Minnesota, 2.5 against Seattle, tied with Detroit. They will play at 12:05 today in the nation's capital. Michael Wacha takes the slab. Vern takes the airwaves at 11 o'clock here with his on-deck show on 96.5 The Fan.
Big one. Got to get this win against Washington, man, and reduce that magic number. As we mentioned, it's sitting at 3 right now, which for those scoring at home, any combination of Royals wins plus Twins losses that equal 3, and the Royals are in the postseason. Seattle also finishes their season, what, they're 2.5 back now of the Royals and Tigers for that final playoff spot. Seattle finishes with a 3-game series against Oakland as well. And so I don't know if Oakland's going to play much in Seattle after what happens out at the Coliseum today, which we're all very much looking forward to see the carnage that could potentially take place at the Coliseum today. I just hope nobody gets hurt. I hope people get what they want. I hope people get mementos. I hope they are able to grieve properly, because you and I aren't old enough to know what it's like to lose a team, right? We weren't around when the Kings left, or when the
Baltimore Colts left.
Talking about Kansas City local teams, like local teams, when the Kings left, and then the Blades went, not the Blades, the Scouts went and became the Rockies for 2 years before they turned into the Devils. But we weren't around for that. So I don't know what it's like to lose a team, right? I've never experienced losing my team, and I never want to experience losing my team. And just an FYI, I mean, like, worst case scenario, if this doesn't go well with the stadiums, this may be something we have to face here, because there are a lot of owners that want their dough out of the Royals right now. Who, if there's 26 owners, I believe, invested in the Royals, and eventually it does become a business. And if they can't get a stadium done here, they will look elsewhere. And from what I've been told, they've already had great offers from other markets around the country. The interesting one is Utah. They may be making a play for the Arizona Diamondbacks right now, because they have a stadium situation going on. So I hate the fact that somebody has to lose their team. And so I do want, the fans to get what they want at the stadium, whether it be a seat, whether it be dirt, whether it be a hot dog cart, whatever they want to take out of there. I hope they get what they want, but I hope they do it dusty in an orderly fashion, and we don't see somebody losing their life or something like that, or players getting injured in all of this stuff today. And that's the part that kind of concerns me, because at the end of the day, it is still Oakland, and we've seen the black hole out there before.
Right, and I think when you go back to the Royals and dive into that, I think the thing that's important, and maybe that gets forgot about in the moment, which is totally fine. Like, I'm not like blaming anybody for this. You don't look into things like as I do or Bob does. I don't look into things like Bob does all the time either. But I think the best thing about this, it goes unheard of right now, is that you and I both can read the text line every day and see the hatred or the shade and all thrown at manager Matt Cotrera.
Why?
I don't know.
I heard Vern talking about that yesterday a little bit.
But
in these last two games, let's just check some boxes off. Was Tuesday and Wednesday must wins?
Absolutely they were. Yeah. Because you probably would have canceled the rest of the season had they lost Tuesday and Wednesday.
So they win those two games. Were they managed in a way that a playoff game would be managed?
I thought so. I said that to Q yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does this team look like they know that they must win these games?
Absolutely.
So if that's what that looks like, and again, I also take the other side of it. This is Washington.
Right.
This is not Baltimore. This is not New York. This is not Houston.
This is not the Roman Coliseum.
But sometimes you need a few little pre-moments to be ready for those other moments. Like, whether this is Washington, Boston, Chicago, L.A., San Diego, name the team that's great, this is still situational baseball. This has still been our backs are against the wall. We can't score diddly poo. And our superstar last night went 0 for 4, yet we still won 3-0.
Right.
Why? Because something that hasn't been there all year is there. And that's a bullpen.
Yeah, they were good.
Daniel Lynch looks like he's found himself again. Mm-hmm. Chris Bubich has been what he wants to be. Recognized and able to take a step forward next year and get back into that starting rotation. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I trust Daniel Lynch more than I trust Brady Singer right now.
Well, I think that's a fair point right now. I don't trust Brady Singer right now. I think Brady Singer probably doesn't trust himself right now. And when Brady Singer gets into trouble, it immediately goes to hell in a handbasket, right? You could just see the body language, and he doesn't have the ability to fight his way out of that. And for the majority of the season, he didn't get into trouble. And that's, you know, dealing with adversity. I don't think Brady Singer handles adversity all that well. But he's been a big part of why we are here right now. And you mentioned Bubich potentially in the starting rotation next year. And I don't want to get too far ahead because there's plenty of time in the offseason to talk about all this kind of stuff. But, you know, Michael Wacha is probably going to opt out of his contract after this season, right? You may have to trade Brady Singer to get a bat because there's not a lot of big bats on the free agent market that you can go out and acquire. So Chris Bubich may have to find a way back into that starting rotation. Or you just take the Hochaver or Wade Davis approach and say, you know what? I'm just going to dominate as a reliever for a couple of years and call it a hell of a career.
Relievers get paid.
They do get paid, right? But they have a short shelf life like running backs as well, too, right? You blow it all out for one inning every third day, and by the end of your third year, you're like, I can't lift my arm anymore. But that draft with Brady Singer and Bubich and Daniel Lynch, I mean, that's a big reason why this organization is in the postseason right now. Hell of a job by Dayton and his crew to draft those three guys who are having major impacts right now for this club, because where would we be without Chris Bubich? Where would we be in the last month without Lynch IV, right? Where would we be without Brady Singer for the beginning part of this year when you and I were having conversations of, should he start an All-Star game? Should he be a Cy Young Award candidate? Like, he pitched really good and was kind of that guy that we needed at the beginning of the year to hold all of this together. Mm-hmm. All three of those guys have contributed in a big way, and it's good to see that homegrown talent finally get up to the big league level and contribute. I know it's not immediate, but it's here now and it's working.
Yeah, there are a lot of free agencies in next year. I still think that there is a chance, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe a lot of people don't like this, but I have a feeling that somebody that nobody likes in baseball named Alex Bregman might get a call from John Sherman next year.
Maybe.
He's a third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have necessarily a third baseman. You went out and found Paul DeJong. Michael Garcia's played third. I think we're kind of done with that experiment. Maybe in my opinion. I don't know. I mean,
I think if you can go out and get an everyday third baseman, you don't like Bregman, or people don't like Bregman because of the cheating stuff and the Astros.
Sure.
Is that what you're saying?
I would assume that they still link him to that.
Get over it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You know? I mean, if he can come here and help us win, who the hell cares?
Or in all reality, you just go sign Juan Soto.
Yeah.
You know, he's a free agent.
But
you know?
So is Pete Alonso.
Eh.
You don't like Pete Alonso?
Well, he plays first in DH. You've got Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez and Freddie Freeman. I think you're safe there.
You're safe there? What if you have to trade Vinny, though, for an ace or something like
after
that?
After seeing what happened to this team when Vinny Pasquantino went down, I don't want him anywhere but Kansas City. And I don't think Kansas City wants him anywhere but here either.
Yeah, I understand
that. Too much of a valuable piece. Plus, he's back in that dugout. You saw him last night, little shaggy hair. Looks a little, like he's a team cheerleader. He's been there for the last two games. What have they done the last two games?
They've won the last couple of games.
Morale and teammates are very popular to have. But
you know.
I think it's going to be a very interesting offseason, though, Dusty. I think there's going to be a lot of movement because you're right. You need a third baseman. You still need a corner outfielder. You probably need a second baseman because as much as people like Massey, you can't rely on that dude's back.
Right. And somebody says, guys, our bullpen looks elite against the Nationals. It's looked terrible against everybody else. Like, it hasn't been great all year.
Take the baby steps, man. If this builds these guys' confidence going into the playoffs, who cares?
Ride it out.
Wouldn't you rather have them dominate the Nationals? What if they got their teeth kicked in by the Nationals? And we're not talking about a playoff team, right?
I don't want to talk about
that. You build your confidence up, and everybody in every walk of life needs confidence to do their job successfully. And if Lynch IV and Bubich and Shriver and all these guys are pitching like garbage against the Nationals, how do you think they're going to feel on Tuesday against Baltimore?
Yeah, I look at the Nationals like I look at my golf game. There's sometimes I go out there and I shoot 89, 91, and I'm like, ooh, that course really ripped me up. I'm going to go out to Hoots Hollow, or I'm going to go out to Drum Farm, where I know I can play well, get my confidence back up, and then when I go play like Adams Point or like Fred Urbanis, I know what I need to work on, and that makes my game that much better. So I'll take the Nationals during this stretch of the season where confidence is key.
Yeah, don't poo-poo this kind of stuff, man. Enjoy like it's good to have the winning now. It's good to see the confidence right now, and it's good to give those guys some breathing room as well.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, it's Bob Fesco's son, Alex Gold Fesco, James, Bob, Dusty. This is 96.5 The Fan, and it's your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I felt bad for our next guest because he's got such a long show today.
Yeah. Oh.
Enjoy it while it lasts because this is the last one. For now, there's going to be
maybe
playoff
a lot
games.
Of day baseball next might week,
start
right?
At, you know, might start at 2 o'clock, but it leaves me no longer than to give you this introduction of our next guest here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5.
Yep. Alex Gold. Alex Gold, host of the Midday Show. He's a betting pro. You better not lose me money. Alex Gold, betting pro. These are his golden locks. You better not lose me money. You better not lose me money. You better not lose us money. You better not lose us money.
That's right. It's still your call to make the bet. You can listen to the expert advice, but it's still your money, so it's your decision. You hit the final button that says, are you sure you want to place a bet? Yes. Tonight, Alex, how are you today, by the way?
What's going on?
Turn your mic on. Man, I tell you what, this... Nothing. Both are on. James, can you adjust that back there?
They are all on.
This is Cody mad at us.
Yeah. Cody sabotaged the microphones, right?
I don't know.
Alex did not deny that. You did not hear Alex say, no, Cody didn't sabotage the microphones.
Every possible red light for mic on is on.
Yep. I don't know what's going on. You want to come share this mic with me?
Yeah, let's do that.
You want to get face? Oh, that one works. You got
to. Over there. Run over there.
We are currently experiencing technical difficulties.
Please stand by.
Give us a hot two over there to make sure you're back on.
We're live.
No, we're really not. Oh, no.
This is crazy.
This is unbelievable.
Is this one now working?
This is great.
I mean, we can just swing it.
Don't we have some corporate guy in town? Maybe we can get some microphones now?
I don't know.
This is unbelievable.
I mean, I guess we're sharing them. I've never done this before. I've never... Two guys, one mic. How about that for a future podcast?
How about the news booth? Can you get that's even worse.
That's even worse. Okay. Before we go to break, we got to make sure we turn off all those microphones. So we'll just do this. How about this? We'll be two guys, one mic. We'll take a selfie of this later and put it on Instagram. Here we go.
Yeah.
So let's just start with tonight. Giants, Cowboys, everybody there. Give a thumbs up to Bob so we can put this. Oh, he doesn't have Instagram. Just send it to me. And now Cody's wanting to know what the hell's going on. But tonight, Giants, Cowboys, what do you like? Who do you like in this Thursday night game?
Well, I was just going to start, Dusty, saying you're right about the fade or follow. I say that all the time on the podcast because fade or follow with betting. And right now, it's been a rough start, admittedly, for me, for I think everybody that's been betting in the NFL. Last week, we talked about the kind of the public bloodbath, if you will,
oh,
for betting.
God, yeah.
And that continued into week three. Underdogs of 7-plus points are 4-0 straight up. Think about that. Like, you thought maybe last week was another week you could, all right, finally go away from the trend of being being afraid to take a team that's a 6-point favorite or whatever. They'll at least, I'll tease them down. You know, I'll tease them to a 1-point favorite. They'll at least win outright. No, that didn't happen again. It's the first time seven plus dogs, so 7 or more point dogs, are above 500 straight up through 3 weeks since 1956.
It's crazy. I was reading through some of the gambling things and things that have never happened in this league. And you know, you mentioned the dogs and they're winning games. I mean, so from that standpoint alone, let's just talk kind of surface area stuff before we delve deep in. How much more difficult is it this year to bet the NFL than you can remember? Not just the fact that underdogs are covering, but they're winning games too. Like for whatever reason, it feels like everybody kind of misread what this league was going to be
question.
Like this
year. I mean, the NFL is always trickier than everybody. I think last week we talked about this, that, you know, everybody loves the NFL. So it's like, oh, I don't bet baseball. I don't bet basketball. I only bet the NFL but that's actually much tougher to do than any of the other sports. But you're right. First time in 70 years, the biggest underdog in each of the first 3 weeks of all won.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's a long season.
Not
but
covered. One
outright. Yeah. I mean, that's why in the survivor pools, whether it's our friends out in Vegas at Circa, or maybe you're doing a local contest. I mean, we're talking about some of these that had 10,000 entries are down to 200 already. If you did a small local survivor,
wow,
those were $1,000 entries. Think about that. People put in $1,000 for an entry at the contest in Vegas, and they have already whittled it down. I think there's only a couple hundred left. I could be wrong.
Because everybody probably took Cincinnati in week one.
For sure. Anybody that's taken Cincinnati this year,
you're screwed.
It's been eliminated. So, like, just keep it in mind. Like, it's frustrating. Trust me, I'm frustrated with the start. It's not been good with the Goldilocks, I'll admit. If it wasn't for Thursday Night Football and player props, we wouldn't be hitting much so far this year, Bob.
But at least you're honest about that, though, Alex, because most people you only hear from when they win, and you're being honest, like, it's been very hard and very difficult. And I'll say it like this: the NFL probably loves this, because what it does, it keeps people so interested in this league. It continues to show about the parity, the alleged parity. I think there's a lot of parity in the regular season, but when it dwindles down to the postseason, there's no parity in this league. There's more in baseball than there is in football in the postseason. But during the regular season, man, the NFL's got to be loving this, because you just don't know what's going to happen. Yes. It keeps people engaged.
It's great. I mean, that's why, Dusty, you were asking about Thursday Night Football tonight. I mean, so Dallas is a 6-point favorite. If you just look at Dallas's start to the season, week one, they blow out the Cleveland Browns. I was like, all right, here we go.
Right.
Then, of course, their performance against the Saints, they give up like 40-something points to the Saints. And then last week, they're very fortunate. The scoreboard doesn't tell the whole story. They came back and made it interesting against Baltimore. So then tonight, Thursday Night Football, 6-point favorites at your Giants, Bob. The total sitting at 45. And so I'm more of a trend bettor, which is why this year's been rough, because it's not how I solely decide what to bet, but I lean on trends heavily. And this year, of course, I just told you all the trends have kind of gone the opposite
way. They're gone, yeah.
But for tonight, like, Dallas is 13-1 outright and 11-3 against the spread against the Giants since 2017. I mean, they have just dominated them. Yeah. They have covered in all these. And so you don't want to overthink it, but at the same time, like, does that trend, do you weigh that tonight or not? I don't think the Giants' performance last week against Cleveland, personally, was one that gives me a ton of confidence suddenly to take them. But, you know, Dallas's defense is a real problem. Like, I'm attacking prop bets against the Dallas rush defense. So, like, I love everything related to Devin Singletary tonight.
Okay.
Just because
the over on everything.
Everything for him. He was great last week anyway, but also they're the worst rush defense in football, the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They just are. So that's an area that I'm kind of going after. If you're in the mood to, you know, like, tease something down, the Cowboys have beat the Giants in 13 of the last 14.
Yeah, it's been wild. And Daniel Jones is 0-5 on Thursday night. So I don't know how all that factors in, but I mean, you know, this is the beauty of the week to week of the NFL, because I look at last week, I'm like, Malik Nabers came to life, right? He came to life. He became one of these superstar wide receivers right before our eyes. Is it the Cleveland Browns or is it reality? And so, like, for me, and this is where I'm sure a lot of bettors feel like, they're like, let's go, Giants got this, because of that, now that new connection between Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers.
Give me that damn microphone. All right, we move on to more NFL games. I thought this was interesting because there's no prop bets other than one for one Kareem Hunt in the Chiefs-Chargers game, which Chargers beat up. I think it's still 8. I don't know if you're laying, you know, Chargers there or not. I don't know if you're giving the points, because this seems like, again, they're beat up. Chiefs could just go ahead and win this game with a field goal with Butker with minutes remaining or seconds remaining. But Kareem Hunt is plus 220 to score, but there's no passing, no rushing props yet for Kareem Hunt. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see any yardage until we get maybe to tomorrow afternoon. There's a chance tonight. I mean, last week, Samaje Perine, I think his number was in the, you know, like 16 or something was where the number was set for him. Even if you're looking from a fantasy football perspective, I just think this is one that we truly don't know what the split's going to be. I assume that Perine is going to lose the, let's say, the six carries he got last week. I think Kareem Hunt takes those. Carson Steele is still going to get the bulk of the carries. But anytime touchdown, you and I did have a conversation about the anytime touchdown market in general across the league. There used to be a year or two ago where you could, you know, find plenty of guys that were, you know, 5-1 or later, right? Better odds. Now, like anybody that's has any remote chance of really having more than one or two targets or carries is going to be at plus 220. Think about that. Kareem Hunt hasn't played in a very long time, hasn't played in Kansas City, as we all know, since 2018, and you're only getting plus 220 for him to score a touchdown. Unless you're going to parlay Hunt with, you think Rashee Rice finds the end zone or somebody else, maybe even on the Chargers side, maybe you think J.K. Dobbins. I just don't think there's enough of odd value there at plus 220 to take Kareem Hunt, but I think we'll see a yardage total at some point. It's just, I don't think anybody knows exactly what we're going to see in terms of the true split between him, Perine, and Carson Steele.
What about Kelsey props this weekend? What are we thinking?
I'm officially staying away now for a while. I know at one point we were like, you know what? I'm taking it no matter what. You know, he's this number is too low, but like at some point you gotta, you know, we're entering week four. You gotta step back for a second. And that's fine. Eventually he's gonna have one week and you're gonna say, darn it, this was the week I jumped off. That's fine. It's a long season. I just think you're chasing it at this point. I think we're chasing it if you just continue to keep going back to the Travis Kelce well from a betting perspective. But I haven't looked at the latest yardage. I'm assuming it's down probably to like 45, 47. I mean, it was 48.5 last week. Mm-hmm. And we all saw how that went.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, an interesting one this week. And I guess I don't understand this. Why are the Bills a dog at Baltimore, man?
These are the ones that are sneaky, like the smell test. It doesn't smell right, right? Like, wait a second. The Buffalo Bills are 3-0. They look like
Baltimore's winning this football game outright. I'm just going to call it right now.
Yeah. Like on the surface, I'm like, oh, I'm going to take the Bills because you're like, well, I'm getting 2.5 points. They're 3-0. They've been as dominant as anybody in football 3 weeks in. Josh Allen's the MVP favorite, all of that. But you said it there. It's like, it doesn't smell right. Like, what's going on here? I actually am kind of with you. I think this Baltimore wins, whereas the public will look at this and say, wait a second. I'm going to get points with a team that's just flat out been better. That's why the NFL is so tough to bet.
Man, Baltimore, too. You win, you're 2-2. You're back in the mix now. All of a sudden, it's, you know, you're a team that's, you know, back in the playoff hunt. You're back in the race for that division championship, and everything feels good again, you know, in Baltimore. But I think that, like, if I'm not mistaken, Alex, if you get blown out in week three, you usually come back in week four and play a pretty good football game. And if you're the team that blows somebody out, you don't necessarily come back the next week and have that same type of performance. And Buffalo's on a short week as well. They played on Monday Night Football. So I'm kind of like, I see that Buffalo's a dog. I'm like, Baltimore's winning this game outright, man. And they just are.
The other thing, what's interesting with Josh Allen, like if there's other, you know, we always talk just about the overall spread for the game, but you can, as you know, you can bet first half and second half under Josh Allen in the second half, the Bills are 62-41-3 against the spread. So they're just.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Second half, whatever that spread is. So even if they're down at halftime, but the second half spread comes out, not for the entire game, but just for that half, since 2005, he's the second most profitable quarterback on second half spread.
You know, I want to ask you something just totally off the cuff here. In Kansas, you can make those bets, obviously. In Missouri, you can't because you're right. Unless you drive across state line. Where does Missouri stand? Like, what are you hearing about the what people believe the results of this vote are going
to
be?
So if you're in Missouri and you've been hoping to legally bet, the good news is the lawsuit that was out there that could have actually nullified the ballot measure, that did not go through. So it is on the ballot. In November, I think early voting starts here pretty soon or something. Mm-hmm. And the recent polling has been good. Now, there's still a 26%, something like that, are undecided. So there's still a lot of swing there potentially. Remember, it needs, of course, over 50% to actually pass. So polling right now is good. But I think we've already heard commercials on this station and in other places as well. But it's full steam ahead. You know, obviously, get out and vote, Bob.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can't. I'm not in Missouri. College this weekend, there's a huge game. You got Bama and Georgia. That's the one I'm looking most forward to this weekend. What are you feeling on that game?
Yeah, you know, it's weird, though. They're playing early in the season. Typically, this is not only an SEC title game sometimes matchup, but you know, don't worry, this is a late October, early November game. And so early season, I think we both have questions. I think a lot of us do about both these teams. We know Nick Saban's not at Alabama. That secondary hasn't been all that great. But this is in Tuscaloosa. I'm getting 2 points, 2.5, depending on where you look. Bama's a 2.5-point dog at home against Georgia, who there's no question over the last couple of years, they have been the team to beat in college football. But I think Jalen Milroe, his ability to kind of create some big plays, is going to be really key for Bama. And the other question I would have with Georgia, just going on a road early enough, like this is not a finished product for Georgia either.
Well, they got a 1-point win a couple of weeks ago,
a couple of weeks ago. So I wasn't all that impressed overall with them. I like the under in the game, 48.5. I think Carson Beck and Georgia's offense, we know at times can look a little sluggish. So the difference in this game, if Georgia wins, I think will just be, can they actually just run all over Alabama, where they've been able to do that at times. And obviously Alabama struggled a couple weeks ago, was against South Florida, I guess it would have been, against the run.
Are we just done with the locals now from a betting standpoint? Like
Look, if you really want to know the truth with the whole Kansas thing, I actually, and this is not like, there is no true statistical evidence I can give you. I feel like they're winning and they're covering the 1.5 against TCU on Saturday at Arrowhead.
Oh, great.
TCU stinks as well. Kansas had three games in which they've had a 90-plus win percent probability in the second half. And this is not me being a Kansas guy telling you they're any good. I was crushed by others that a week or so ago that said they're winning four games this year. But I actually think this is one of the four guys.
K-State is -5 in their matchup against Oklahoma State. Big matchup at 11 o'clock. But I think you're on my Buffaloes this weekend. They are +14.
I didn't even know who the hell they're playing this week.
UCF.
Just take the over in that game.
Okay.
Just take the over in that. I was on your Buffs last week. I told you. Colorado's 3-1, right? Good for them. Are you back on board? Or do you believe?
He never got off the train.
I haven't seen the Coach Prime hoodie in a while.
Well, it's not Saturday. It only comes out on Saturday. I had it on last Saturday.
It's also warm.
Yeah, I mean, I got a hoodie on for what we're doing later on today. But, yeah, no, Colorado +14 at UCF. I love the over there. The other one that I love is I do love K-State -5 at home coming off a heartbreaker against BYU. I mean, maybe not a heartbreaker, but either way, I think they bounce back. I saw that they're -5 on DraftKings. Colorado +14. I do like the over in that. And then should I go ahead and put a futures bet on Tennessee to win the national championship?
Tennessee. Well, I like the quarterback. Mac's not here, but we talked about him before the season started as a potential Heisman guy to keep an eye on or whatever. Look, college football wise, this weekend the only bets that I have are the KU game we just talked about, Georgia and Bama with the under in that game. I'm not betting on the Tennessee game this weekend. So I'll be that's not even a game that I have a huge lean on. K-State though is Avery Johnson going to bounce back from that second half, the dreadful second half? I still don't think they let him run the ball enough. Like I still think that is a problem for them.
What about Missouri barely beating Vanderbilt? Is that a more week. Sign of what's to come for Missouri, or is that just Vanderbilt being like nobody wants to play Vanderbilt?
Where are you guys at on them? Because I actually think sometimes in these special seasons we see teams that have these close losses.
Oh, all the time.
They won. You know what I mean? Close games. And ultimately they end up still finding a way to squeak those out. And then next thing you know, they're sitting late in November and they got either one loss or they're undefeated and they're heading to an SEC title game. So I'm not that worried about Missouri. I still think they are clearly the best local school. I thought that before the season. We talked about that last February when they had some of the better odds to get to a college football playoff.
Yeah, and so I think they're the only one that's still alive for the college football playoff at this point in time.
Maybe K-State has to run the table to get to the conference title game. Yeah.
So, all right, Alex. Well, we appreciate you coming in and kneeling down and
Thank
sharing
you.
The mic with Dusty. And
unbelievable.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
My knees hurt.
Did you put it on Instagram?
I did. I gave you photo cred too. So.
Oh, nice.
We're
Thank
trying
you.
To get Bob.
You're not trying to be like that ML football.
Bob and Jen and I are trying to get Bob on IG.
Jen's not trying to get me out.
How are you
there.
Not on? Oh, that's right. You're not on. By the way, someone was thinking when we were talking about the Missouri balloting on the text line and said, did he just say, remember, you have to get 50% as if I said something that was stupid.
Right.
No, because if there's 48%, it doesn't pass. So it's yes, that actually is significant to point out. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
All right, they got Paul Charchian on their show today. Only an hour, Cody and Gold.
Big day for them.
I told you I knew a lot about Alex. We're really close. We share one mic. Hopefully a podcast coming, two guys, one mic.
So Harold Kuntz of Channel 4 will be in here tomorrow for the roundtable. Right. I hope we have the microphone fixed by then, because I do not want to see you and Harold have to share a mic tomorrow.
I
want to
see it. I can't wait.
No, it's not fair to Harold. He always comes in ready to roll and nice dress pants and things like that. You don't need to be kneeling and using a microphone that you're trying to use as well.
All right, Bob, tell the people how they can get free groceries.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a Chiefs highlight, and if you're caller number 15 and know who the missing Chief is in this highlight, you will qualify to win a $500 gift card from Hy-Vee, and that will be awarded tomorrow. There's only five qualifiers. Qualifier number 4, if you know who the missing Chief is in this highlight.
First and 10, Lamar Jackson at his own 20-yard line. Kyler Linderbaum out of Iowa. Last year made the Pro Bowl. Set to snap it to Lamar Jackson, who will fake a handoff to throw. He's hit! He fumbles the ball! The ball's out at the Raven 13-yard line! Mike Pinnell and teaming up on the sack. Kansas City's got the ball. The Chiefs were +3 in the AFC Championship game. They get a sack, strip, and a recovery in the red zone.
All right, you heard that call by Mitch. If you know who the missing Chief was in that call, be caller number 15 to 913-586-7965, and you will be our fourth of five qualifiers to win that $500 Hy-Vee gift card. It will be awarded tomorrow after we take our final qualifier.
I would love nothing more than $500 to Hy-Vee, because I would just buy steaks every Thursday.
There you go. Steak night is tonight. $10 steak. You get your garlic mashed potatoes and your green beans. It's an entire meal for $10.
All you got to be is caller 15 for your chance. Give James your name and give the name that you didn't hear. Mike Pinnell and who as that Chief as we do that. Coming up on the other side, we'll wrap this show up. We'll get you ready for the Royals game, Chiefs game, and everything else in between. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, that's James. We'll talk to you on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Moving right along, we'll have a buddy of ours join the show here in about 6 minutes to talk about a wonderful foundation.
Yeah, they've done a great job.
Plus,
great
it involves
job.
Golf, so, you know, I'm all about it. So.
Yeah. Coming up in about, what did you say, 7 minutes or so?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to Gary. He is our qualifier today for the $500 Hy-Vee gift card. We'll give out one more qualifier, Dusty, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then of the five qualifiers, we'll draw a winner, and you will be notified if you win that $500 Hy-Vee gift card. So your last chance to qualify is tomorrow at 9:35. And also be listening beginning next week, every day next week at 8 o'clock. We're giving away a pair of tickets to go see Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan down at T-Mobile Center. Looking forward to that. So,
yeah, can't wait.
That is on the agenda for next week.
Royals in action again tonight. I think we're all hoping for a sweep, obviously.
Yeah.
Makes things easier. If they win today and the Twins lose tonight, the magic number is one.
One, and they can clinch tomorrow, baby.
That's right. And Atlanta's got some unfortunate weather issues going on with that hurricane that's messing up their games. Could be having a doubleheader the Monday before the playoffs start on a Tuesday.
Right.
Not good for their series right now.
Which, why didn't they play a doubleheader earlier in the week instead of doing it like this way? Like, I think baseball dropped the ball on this one.
Well, it's also weird because you remember that game last Saturday, it got moved up to like, what, 4:15
instead of 6:10? Yeah,
and they did that ahead of time. They did that the day before. So you'd think that, you never know.
You can do that kind of stuff. I think Atlanta and Major League Baseball dropped the ball on that. You don't want two teams that are battling for a playoff spot to play a doubleheader after the regular season is over the day before the playoffs start. That's just a major disadvantage, you know, for everybody involved. And, you know, it sucks, but hey, such is life. They could be doing other things, right?
Right.
The other thing that is happening today that we've talked a lot about this morning, because I think you and I are very much intrigued by what's going to happen in Oakland later on today. Mm-hmm. And you retweeted this video of the grounds crew guy filling everybody's cups and bottles with dirt from the field at the Oakland Coliseum. And it's little things like that that do make a big difference for people, right?
Right.
You may think, oh, it's just a bottle of dirt or whatever it is, but that guy doing that kind of stuff is giving people an opportunity to have a memento of a place where they loved watching their baseball team, and some dirtbag owner is taking them, taking their team away and moving it to Sacramento for 3 years. And then if the Vegas thing ever happens, who knows? Some people out there still think it may be sold to another owner in Oakland, and they may get a deal done out there and stay in Oakland. So nobody really knows what's going to happen, and nobody really knows what's going to happen today out at the Coliseum. I'm preparing for, you know, the worst and hoping for the best, I think.
Yeah, I think it's better to do that, because I think we were talking to Ben Maller earlier. If you missed, you can check out the podcast, but you know, they're expecting riots. They're expecting, you know, all that. You do little things like that, maybe you eliminate some of it. I think it is inevitable, according to him. And he's out in L.A., obviously, and he, you know, knows the city more than we do with Oakland and all that that's going on. I think there will be some sort of, you know, Richards out there. Obviously, we'll do our Richard of the Week tomorrow on our Friday show. But, yeah, I mean, I think when you do that, or, you know, you go to the bullpen and give people like bullpen bags, or you give them, you know, whatever you want to give them, because it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
That can kind of maybe eliminate some of the anarchy that could happen. I'm not hoping that that happens, but I'm my ears to the wall when it comes to this Oakland story.
Yeah, and you know, I know people are going to be ripping out seats. There was a video of a guy ripping out a pair of seats the other day, and I guess there was another one where a guy got out the gate and six like security guards were chasing him trying to get the seat back. Like, at that point, if you're a security guard, just let people go ahead and take what they want. And unless people are doing violent activities out there and things get out of hand, I think this is one of those days where you just kind of let the people be the people until they push it to a line where you can't be the people anymore, then you got to stop it. Like, you don't need to be going on the field attacking players or anything like that. They didn't do anything wrong, right?
No.
And Major League Baseball has already warned the A's and the Rangers, get off the field as quickly as possible. We're not sure what's going to happen, but it didn't have to get to this point, right? Like Major League Baseball is culpable in this as well, to allow this situation to occur for the last 18 years where they couldn't get a deal done with somebody out there.
Right.
John Fisher. Has he ever seen a ball game here? No.
I don't appreciate him leaving, whoever's fault it is, you know what I'm saying? But now we don't have any sports teams left. This is my whole family. Look at all my family right here. Yeah. Raised them at the A's games, you know what I'm saying? And so now I don't have this anymore. They can't raise their kids the way they was raised, because we don't have any sports teams for them to go to. And I don't know if y'all know about the Warriors, but you go over there, man, you get a chicken sandwich for like $45. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't like you can take the fam over to the Warriors game and have some Bay Area sports and be rah-rah. We like the Giants over here, but we can't be over there like, let's go Giants. Come on, man. We can't be doing that.
I'm sure it's a bittersweet week for all these A's fans. You know, what are the emotions like for you and your family?
Well, there's not really nothing sweet about it. I mean, we out here just trying to show out for the last time, like I said, because I was a little kid when I came. And now it's all the way over.
Bittersweet my ass.
Yeah, like, what a dumb question by that reporter. Like, are you in tune with the city in which you cover, sir? It's got to be bittersweet. There's no sweetness in this. This is all bitter. This is animosity. This is venom. And just to let you know, Bob Nightingale, a baseball reporter for, believe, USA Today, right?
Yeah.
Just tweeted out a picture. They're already tailgating. We're 5 hours to go before the game, and fans are in the parking lot tailgating. So if that's a sign of things to come later on today, look out, guys, because it could get wild out there. So just keep your social media up and look for pictures and video and craziness that could potentially be happening out in Oakland today.
Speaking of craziness that's happening, Shohei Ohtani's historic 50-50 home run ball.
Yeah.
It's going to be auctioned.
Yep.
Prospective buyers, quote, will have a chance to purchase the baseball outright for $4,500,000.
Oh, wow. Because I saw the bidding was going to start at like $500,000. Like, that seems low for that. Did you see the other piece of memorabilia that sold the other day? A Tom Brady rookie card for like $150,000.
Good Lord.
Do you know who bought that rookie card?
I would say Bill Belichick.
Close. Robert Kraft.
Somebody said on the text line, people that are getting the dirt-filled bottles will just sell them on eBay. Do whatever you
Who
want
cares?
With them.
Yeah. What do you care what they
people
do with
sold
it?
Rainwater from a Nashville Taylor Swift concert in jars.
Oh, they did?
True story.
Oh, my God.
Collected rainwater, sold on eBay. Somebody collected like $600 for one. Yeah. Remember back in the day when people were like collecting gum from like Dennis Rodman and selling it
on
eBay? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
True story. Speaking of a true story, we go to a new guy on the show. We go to our guest right now doing a great thing. Drew Reynolds joins us here on Fesco and Dusty. Drew, how are you this morning?
I am doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing outstanding, and you guys are doing well, man. If you don't know, Drew Reynolds' family started the Allison Angels, and they have a golf tournament every year where they're doing great things and giving back to Kansas City in only a way that they can. Tell us a little bit first, Drew, about Allison Angels and what you guys have on tap for the golf tournament on October 7th.
Absolutely, and I appreciate the opportunity. You guys have been such great partners with us. And so what Allison's Angels is... My little sister, her name was Allison. We lost her about 11 years ago. She had cerebral palsy, and we wanted to do something to honor her. And so our family got together. We created this 501c3 charity, and golf is in our blood. My dad was a golf pro. I played golf throughout my whole life. Putting on a golf tournament was something that came very easy to us. We wanted to start a charity, though. So the reason we're raising the money, we wanted to start a charity that is providing grief resources to parents that have lost a child for any age, for any reason. We found that one of the best ways to help them is to actually connect them with other parents that have gone through that same struggle. Mm-hmm. People that might be 3 years removed from it, 5, 10 years removed. We even got people that are 30 years removed. So a lot of times connecting people with people that have kind of been through it, you know, the circumstances they had to go through, the questions that might be impossible to answer. How did they get through this or how did they get through that? That's one of the best ways we can help them. And so not only that, but we've also we've produced a book that's now available. So that book is called Whispers of Hope. And that book was produced by my mother, Margaret Reynolds. She's an author and a consultant. And what she did is she curated stories from parents that have lost. And in that book are lots of curated stories from parents that have lost and the immediate time after the loss of how they dealt with that time and how they got through grief resources. So the book starts with some resources and guidance, and it ends with some resources and guidance. But the middle part of the book is curated stories from parents that have lost. And it's really powerful. We're really proud that is... through production, it is available on Amazon. It's available in hard copy. It will be available on electronic formats, Kindle and whatnot, very soon, within the month of October. So that's what we've been working on this year. We're excited about that. Golf tournament's coming up October 7th, which is a week and a half away. We can't believe it. We are sold out. We are so happy and looking forward to seeing everybody for year two.
And where is your resources going this year? You guys have kind of targeted something that's kind of close to everybody here in Kansas City.
Yeah, unfortunately, you start asking around a little bit, and almost everybody knows somebody that has lost a child. And so our resources are going into the distribution of that book. Anybody that is interested in that book, we want to get that book to them free of charge. That could be somebody local. It could be somebody that's not local. It could be individuals. It can be organizations. So we are targeting organizations. We are targeting organizations. Might be things like churches or funeral homes, hospitals, any sort of related services. Anybody that's interested can go to angelsgps.org is our website. Or they can send an email to info@angelsgps.org. We would be happy to distribute these books free of charge for those people that would find it helpful.
Yeah, and I think, people don't know the severity of losing a child until they do. And I've had, a few friends over the years lose a child, and it's something no parent should have to ever go through. And a lot of times there just, isn't, you know, resources out there for people. They don't know what to do. And this is, you know, you and the BMA Foundation, and I know you're connected with Jerry a little bit on this and kind of got this thing going and, you know, dealing with the loss of a child. You need these resources out there. And so if you're suffering, if you lost a child, you got to take advantage of these resources and talk to people who have been there and that are with you that can help you through this process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Jerry Anselmo. He's been great for us, and the BMA Foundation is something that we, you know, one day probably aspire to be. But in that same breath,
I know a guy. I know a guy.
Yeah, I know you do. in that same breath, a lot of people out there probably remember the tragedy that happened around the Super Bowl parade last year for the Chiefs. So Lisa Lopez Galvin, her life was taken that day. Her brother is Beto Lopez, who is the mayor pro tem in Lee's Summit and a friend of mine. We are going to honor the Lopez family this year out at our tournament. We're going to do a little presentation for them. We're going to have a lot of their family members, including Lisa's husband, out there. And so that's something that we're really, really looking forward to today. We're going to have some Lee's Summit city dignitaries out there as well to help us in that presentation. So we're really looking forward to, you know, not only do we have this book out and we're really starting to increase our reach and our effectiveness, but we're also, you know, working with local people here that have gone through real things, you know, real loss and helping them out. And so we're really looking forward to that as well.
All right, Drew, we appreciate the time. Tell Rick and Riley I said what's going on, and we'll see you on October 7th and we'll swing them for a good cause.
I hope to see you out there again, Dusty. Good to see you last year, and thank you for that.
Absolutely. No problem. Drew Reynolds there. Well, hopefully I'll see him out there on October 7th, and you'll get to see Alex Gold and Cody Tapp for 1 hour total coming up on the other side.
Big hour for them.
Look at what Drew does. Look at what Alex does. Look what Cody does. Look what Drew Reynolds does. Go do nice things for people because, you know, you never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. We got a Red Friday tomorrow.
Let's go.
See you later, everybody.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Kansas football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score.